Oh, now this is the lights of the processor. Now the PDP-6 processor had two 19-inch relay racks to the right of the machine, to the left of the console, which were the guts of the processor. And at the top of each one of those, there was a panel of indicators that basically enabled you to look at the internal state of the machine, and if you were debugging it and so forth, you could sometimes see.
But the layout, it looks like you got, what was it, a 4 and then a space and then a 2. What was the paper tape layout?
Oh, let's see.
Is this screen laid out the same way?
No, this isn't screen. Now, the operator console, if I'm sitting here at the operator console typically, I would normally sit at a 90 degree angle to the console, and I would have my Model 35 teletype set up here. Then at about a 45 degree angle to that was the 340 display and the tube there. And then in front of me, the operator console, there was the lights and the actual operator switches, which consisted of long finger switches, these really nice buttons that you can operate to start the machine and stop.
The front of a PDP-8.
This is high class. PDP-8, of course, is El Cheapo. This is a couple of
really
grades
good
up.
More
of them and so forth, because it's a much more expensive machine. And basically, the registers that the programmer would be of interest in, such as the program counter and the priority interrupt lights and the run light and so forth like that, were on that thing. Then the next panel over had the paper tape, and above that, in the right hand processor bay, was the marginal test thing. There was a variable power supply and a system where you could test the machine by varying the voltages and try to isolate marginal components and so forth. And the variable supply and the big meter for that was located above the operator position, not normally. Then to the left, opposite that, was the high-speed paper tape punch, which could be pulled out in order to reload the paper tape or empty the chat box. And so it slid back in. And then there was an empty panel where the microtapes were mounted, typically. And then below that was there was a whole 36-bit word of lights, which were there was a set of address switches on the console. The machine had an 18-bit address, so there were 18 address switches. Whenever the machine referenced the address set in those switches, it would load that switch into the lights.
Okay.
So you could set up a location, and then you could monitor in the lights what that location was actually doing.
Uh-huh.
You could also load those lights under program control. If you just did data 0, it also loaded those lights. So those lights could be used for example, driving the music thing.
That's just a 36 bulb line of lights, and each one of them corresponds to a bit inside a particular address.
Well, each one of them is just a light, and if you set up the address switches to be an address switch, then any time that address thing gets modified, it's going to load those lights as well, so hopefully the two things will stay in sync.
Yeah.
And then below those 36 lights was 36 switches, which is called the data word.
Okay.
And the PDP-6 again had this problem with getting started. I mean, you know, in order to really boot the machine, required a lot of logic. So they did a shortcut. It was actually a fairly funny shortcut. The machine had these 16 fast registers. You know, one of the big features of machines was that in addition to having core memory, it had 16 registers made out of explicit flip-flops. It was a 19-inch rack all full, and they had an access time of 400 nanoseconds, which was substantially faster than core memory. Core memory of that era was 1.8 microseconds or something, maybe 1.6. So therefore, that left 16 registers in the core memory that was what we called shadow memory. That was, so if you reference those things, you got the accumulator system. That was another feature of the PDP-6, which turned out to be a bad feature in the later versions of it, but their initial idea was that you could actually speed up your program by taking little loops and moving them into the accumulators. And so the would run faster out of the accumulators.
Okay.
So, anyway, there were 16 registers of core behind that. Well, what you did was you put in a paper tape loader in those 16 registers. And then to get the machine started, from the core, of course, was non-volatile. You turn off power and it would retain its information. So you turn the machine on, cold start, and there was a way to disable the fast accumulators and allow those shadow memory, so-called, to show through.
Okay.
And then you would hit start, and there would be a tiny program in there that would read in the paper tape. Okay. Well, occasionally that would get wiped out.
Yeah.
And when that happened, then that's right, you would have to actually key in, and the people at DEC actually did that. They had to key in about 8 or 10 words, or 36-bit words, with the keys. You know, it was take a good 5-6 minutes.
I'm sure somewhere on the blocks I've got the load program I'm familiar with was like 14 instructions.
Yeah. Well, and so we had one, however, that used the repeat things on the console had a repeat function. You could put just one, and there was also an execute button. You could move a button, and it would execute the contents of the test word as an instruction. So you put Kano paper tape reader 60 and execute. That would start the paper tape reader, read the first frame, and then data I. You just had to switch a few bits. You didn't have to really put in a whole different instruction. And then you put down stop and continue and repeat, and it would go chunk, 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 chunk. It would read in enough paper tape to get started.
Once it got to that
thing, you could
lift up and moving on the code and so forth.
And it would read in the rest of the load.
Yeah.
So you only had to type in two words.
A lot of improvement.